Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I don't know, for some reason this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam keeps on coming up in my mind today. I don't know. I see it in connection to nothing, but it just keeps on coming up in my mind, so I thought I would speak from it and see if, while speaking, if I can make a connection to why it keeps on coming up. And I just was thinking about it and what I would speak on. In the car on the way over here, and somehow it just felt like that maybe because this verse keeps on coming up, maybe it's the verse I should speak from. So it is the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, 16th verse. It's Bhishma Dev speaking to. Is this on? Doesn't sound like it. Do I need it? Yes. You can hear it.
No, I think we need
it. It needs to be closer. Okay, well, that's why I asked, do I need it? Because it doesn't seem to be doing anything right now. Hare Krishna. Do I have to chew it? Is there some way you can turn the volume up?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hare Krishna? You can hear now?
Yes.
Okay. Hare Krishna. This is Bhishma Dev addressing specifically Yudhishthira Maharaj. Although there are a lot of other personalities assembled there as well, including Krishna himself, who appeared before Bhishma Dev as he was lying on his bed of arrows. And you would think that one may not be very clear in thought under such circumstances, but Bhishma Dev seemed to be rather clear in his thought processes while instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. In fact, I don't think it's in this verse, but I think it's in another verse very nearby to this verse in a purport while Bhishma Dev was instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. Prabhupada used the example, sometimes it is found that the mother instructs the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. And he was using that example, that analogy, that Bhishma Dev, although he was speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was actually taking advantage of Yudhishthira Maharaj's presence to instruct a lot of others who happened to be present at the time. And the verse, I'll read the Sanskrit and the English translation and commentary, is Na hyasyad kahichid rajan puma veda vidhit sitam. I know Murali Vatika knows this verse. I'm sure other devotees might be aware, but I knew Murali Vatika would know this verse. He knows a lot of verses from Bhagavatam. Na hyasyad kahichid rajan puma veda vihitsitam yad vijigasi ayukta muyanti kavayo pihi. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Shri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Purport. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma Dev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhishthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord, because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. That's the end of the purport, but it just so happens I have another commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here. It's short. I wanted to read that also, because although Prabhupada covered a lot of it in his commentary, it's interesting the way Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also presents this verse. He says, "So what should I conclude? Here is the general conclusion. Everyone agrees that no one can interfere with the plans of Krishna, and no one can even understand what his plans are, even today. No person, starting with Brahma and Shiva, knows the plan of the Lord, what to speak of me. Maybe no one knows, but inquiry is necessary. Does he want to give us suffering? Does he want to give us joy? Does he want to give us suffering and happiness? He cannot be the first, because then his quality of being affectionate to his devotees would be cancelled. He cannot be the second option, because we have not seen any happiness. It cannot be the third option, because that would be a contradiction to his kind nature. It is finally decided that one cannot solve the problem by inquiry. Thus the verse says that even those who use their intelligence to discriminate and those who use knowledge of scripture are bewildered by inquiry. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmini Tamnina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Mangayati Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurunjayam Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Pidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschacha De Satarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Now, in this scenario, as we said, we have Yudhishthira Maharaj. This verse was spoken to Yudhishthira after the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, at that particular time, he was feeling responsible. He was thinking that a massive war has just taken place. So many people were killed, not many survived. And the whole purpose for fighting in that war was to establish me as king. I must be in some way responsible for all of these deaths. And I mean, I guess it's really, it could be, if you think about it, relatively easy to feel a little guilty under such circumstances of, if you look at the outcome and thinking that because of me. And Bhishma Dev, who was lying on the arrows in that particular situation, who was preparing to leave this world, felt it necessary to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj and to instruct all others who were present about a very important point, that is, in all of this there must be some plan. And in fact, as we know, there was a plan. Krishna did have a plan. Prabhupada even just alluded to part of the plan in his commentary by explaining that Krishna's plan was, he wanted Yudhishthira to take part in the war. He wanted Bhishma to take part, who happened to be on the opposing side of Duryodhana. He was somewhat compromised on the opposing side, even though he was a great devotee. But because of some obligations he had to Duryodhana, he took part in fighting even against Krishna, against the Pandavas, who were very dear to him. But Krishna's plan, as Prabhupada says, that the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. As Bhishma seemed to be serving the interests of Duryodhana. And as we know, that although Bhishma apparently was serving the interests of Duryodhana, and he tried to even convince Duryodhana of that at one time, as we know, the example is there that when Duryodhana suspected that Bhishma, who was such a great general, a Maharata capable of killing, very powerful warriors, it seemed like Duryodhana seemed to suspect him of being partial to the Pandavas. He thought Duryodhana was suspecting that Bhishma was being partial to the Pandavas. He thought that Bhishma was not fighting to his full potential. And therefore Bhishma had to speak out and express his conviction, to convince Duryodhana that, okay, if you think I'm not fighting to full potential, then we know the story of how he was requested for 5 arrows, and he vowed that with each one of those arrows he would kill the Pandavas. And he could only be stopped if Krishna stopped him. And of course, he also knew that Krishna had taken a vow that he would not intervene in the battle. He would take up no weapons whatsoever. So he thought, if Duryodhana is thinking that I'm partial, then let me prove myself. But of course, he tried to prove himself to Duryodhana in this way. But as Prabhupada explains also in the commentary, that Bhishma Dev is a great devotee. And even when they were fighting on the battlefield, and Bhishma Dev was firing arrows at Krishna, and it's described also elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna was accepting those arrows to be like offerings of flower petals. And even though externally it appeared that Krishna's body was being pierced and was suffering, on the contrary, Krishna was accepting Bhishma Dev's offerings as loving offerings, as offerings of flower petals, because Bhishma Dev had great love and affection for the Lord, and as a great devotee of the Lord, not only was a great devotee of the Lord, but as Prabhupada explains also in the commentary, he is one of the 12 Mahajans. So Bhishma Dev was accused of being partial and by Duryodhana, and then, as we know the story, I won't give all the details, but the story is such that when Bhishma Dev took one of the arrows to kill Arjuna when he was off his chariot and he was trying to fix his chariot, then it seemed to be the best time for Bhishma to use one of those arrows and to prove his point. And as we know, Krishna, he intervened and he broke his promise. He broke his promise to not intervene in the battlefield by not taking up any weapons. But because Bhishma made the vow, then Krishna felt it was more important to uphold Bhishma's vow than to uphold his own vow. Because Bhishma is such a great devotee. So Bhishma made the vow that only if Krishna intervenes and stops me, will I be obstructed from carrying out executing this event. So Bhishma, Krishna lifted one of the broken chariot wheels and he approached Bhishma Dev with that chariot wheel and he stopped Bhishma from firing the arrow and killing Arjuna. And in this way, in order to maintain the word of Bhishma Dev, he protected his devotees' honor and his devotees' words by even breaking his own vow, which is something which is well known by the Lord, that the Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsal, which means he's always very keen to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. And Prabhupada elsewhere, he makes the point that Krishna says to Arjuna, Kaunteha Patijanihi Nami Bhaktya Pranashati, he says to Arjuna, I want you to declare it boldly that my devotee is never vanquished. And Prabhupada makes the point that the reason why he told Arjuna to declare it boldly is because if Arjuna declared it, people would have to accept. But if he said it, people may question, because sometimes it's seen that he breaks his vows. So if I say it, maybe people will doubt me. And in the example of he broke his vow to use the chariot wheel as a weapon and to intervene in the killing of Arjuna. So he makes the point that if you say it, Arjuna, people will accept. Because one thing that Krishna always does is Krishna always holds true the words of his devotees. In fact, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he gives so many different examples of how the Lord specifically acted as he did by appearing as Lord Nrisimhadev to uphold so many statements which were made by different persons. He upheld the statement of Brahma, who gave the benediction to Hiranyakashipu that he would be killed neither at day or at night, he would be neither killed on the land nor on the water, he would be killed by neither mortal nor man or animal. So many different terms were given, and Lord Nrisimhadev kept that intact. by appearing as Lord Nrsimha, the half man, half lion, and didn't kill Hiranyakashipu by any weapon. He used his own nails and didn't kill him outside or inside. He was killed on the threshold of the palace. He didn't kill so many different. He upheld the statements of Lord Brahma, although he did tell Brahma later. He said, "Please don't make any promises like that again." He upheld the statement of Narada Muni when was it Kayadhu was in the ashram of Narada Muni, and when Indra appeared at the ashram of Narada Muni while Kayadhu was under the protection of Narada, and Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities, and Indra was thinking, while Hiranyakashipu is performing his austerities, I'll take advantage and I'll go to this place because the evil seed of that demon is in the womb of this woman. I'll wait till he takes his birth. As soon as he takes his birth, I'll finish him off. And that way, you know, Indra was thinking that, because Indra is sometimes, he's a little bit, becomes a little disconcerted when he feels that his position as the king of the heavenly planets is potentially in jeopardy. And therefore, in order to protect his post, his position, sometimes he takes strong action. And but nonetheless, Narada told Indra when he appeared in his ashram, he said, "The child in this womb is a great devotee, and I'm sorry that even if you want to kill him, you won't be able to kill him because great devotees like this are always protected by the Lord." Interesting. I bring that point out. It makes me think of the. I just gave a class in Kiev. It was in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. It was about Prahlad Maharaj, and it was about how Prahlad. It was the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, and Prabhupada was making the point that Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee, and the verse itself was also making the point that Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee due to his previous credit that he had accumulated. And we were making the point that what was Prahlad Maharaj's previous credit that he had accumulated? There were two things, and this is also explained, I think it's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. That's explained that how, and Jiva Goswami also speaks about it in one of the Sandarbhas, that Prahlad in his previous birth, he was the son of a great Brahmin whose name was Vasu Sharma, and his name was Vasudev Sharma. Vasu Sharma had five very qualified sons, except one of them happened to be a drunkard, and that was Vasudev Sharma. And he was a drunkard, addicted to intoxications, and not only that, but he used to go to prostitutes. And one night, this is this previous birth, before he took birth as Prahlad. One night, while with the prostitute, they happened to get into a fight. And they got into such an argument, they were fighting, that they became so disturbed that they couldn't eat. Neither of them ate the whole day and the whole night. And they stayed up all night long because they were so disturbed by the fight. Now, it just so happens that day and night happened to be Nrsimha Chaturdasi, which is a very auspicious day. Now, of course, sometimes when we hear this story, we think, how was it Nrsimha Chaturdasi? Because Lord Nrsimhadev appeared afterwards. But we spoke about that this morning, actually, in class. That Lord Nrsingadev appeared in this particular Brahmakalpa to kill Hiranyakashipu, who happened to be previously Jai, one of the four gatekeepers of the Vaikuntha planets. So he appeared in this particular Brahmakalpa on a particular day, in this Brahmakalpa. But actually, Lord Nrsingadev appears in every Brahmakalpa and to kill Hiranyakashipu. This is a long story. I'm not going to tell the whole story because it could take the whole lecture. But the point is that Nrsinga Chaturdasi had already taken place at another time. It takes place in every Brahmakalpa. So it happened to be Nrsinga Chaturdasi that Vasudev Shama had stayed up that whole night, which is a very, very auspicious day. And Rupa Goswami explains that there are three appearances of the Lord which are considered to be the most auspicious appearances of the Lord. They are called Para Avasta Avatars. And the Para Avasta Avatars are Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Ramachandra, and Krishna. So, certainly the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev is a very auspicious day, and it just so happened that there are many things that one should do on Nrsinga Chaturdasi, such as bathing in the morning and performing, eating, not and fasting all day and staying up all night. So, of the many things that had to be done on Nrsinga Chaturdasi, both Vasudev Shama and the prostitute observed it by fasting all day and by staying up all night. And because of that, they got devotional credits for observing Nrsinga Chaturdasi, which entitled him to take an auspicious birth as Prahlad in the womb of Kayadu in his next birth. And not only, of course, and it also explains that he took his birth as Prahlad in the womb of Kayadu, and the prostitute, in her next life, she took birth as an apsara in the heavenly planets, and after that birth, she went back to the spiritual world because of observing Nrsinga Chaturdasi. Now, this, of course, is... it's... I can't remember how I got on to this point, but it's because we were saying that Narada Muni had upheld the statement that this child in the... Krishna had upheld the statement of Narada Muni when Narada said to Indra, this child is a great devotee. He was already a great devotee even before he heard Narada Muni's instructions within the womb. But he became a greater devotee because while within the womb had taken that birth, he heard Narada Muni instructing his mother while she was at the ashram and he was protecting her. He heard everything that Narada Muni was instructing her, and he even explained all this to his friends. And when his friends asked, hey, Prahlad, how did you become such a great devotee? And Prahlad told them, because I heard my spiritual master, I received all of his instructions while within the womb of my mother. So, anyways, Narada made it clear, no way, Indra, you can't kill him. So Lord Nrsingadev had to uphold the statement of Narada Muni. Lord Nrsingadev also had to uphold many other statements as well. And what was another statement? I think it was a statement made by Hiranyakashipu. Makes that point. Hiranyakashipu made some kind of a statement that... of course, you might say, who's Hiranyakashipu? Who's a big demon? But actually, he's Jai. In this particular Brahmakalpa, Hiranyakashipu happened to be a great devotee who took birth as a demon to be killed by Lord Nrsingadev. So he made some kind of a statement something to the fact that I will have to be killed. It's the only way that I can be stopped from punishing my own son. Because as we know, Hiranyakashipu tried to punish Prahlad. So Lord Nrsingadev upheld Hiranyakashipu's statement, saying, okay, you say you have to be killed? Okay, I'll take care of that. And there are a few other statements as well. I can't remember them all that Sanatana Goswami gives. But the point is, the Lord will always uphold the statement of His devotees in deference to even His own promise. So in the particular case of Bhishma Dev, he broke his own promise to uphold the statements of Bhishma Dev, and therefore he intervened. So he had a plan. His plan was he wanted to establish Yudhisthira Maharaj as the emperor of the universe, emperor of the planet, and he wanted to prove that vice cannot win over virtue. He wanted to see that proper punishment was given for the insulting of Draupadi, which happened in the palace, which it was attempted to disrobe her in the presence of Bhishma Dev. When Bhishma Dev did not stop, the Pandavas did not stop, and as we know, in that particular case, that Draupadi, although she looked to everybody for help, nonetheless there was an attempt by Dushasan to pull down her hair and to disrobe her in the presence of everyone. We know that ultimately Krishna came and protected her. There is a narration given, it's a conversation between Draupadi and the Lord, where Draupadi is questioning the Lord, why is it that it took so long for you to come, and why was I put through that particular difficulty? And the Lord, as what took place at that particular time, and the Lord explained to Draupadi, he says, well, at first you were not depending upon me. He said, why? And because you were not depending on me, therefore I didn't appear, because you looked to Bhishma Dev and you were thinking he's the senior most member of the assembly, and you looked to Bhishma Dev thinking he could help you, but he was compromised and he couldn't do anything to help you. And when you realized Bhishma Dev wasn't going to help you, then you turned to your husbands and you're thinking your husbands will help you, but the husbands, they couldn't do anything either. And you were thinking your husbands would protect you, but they couldn't do anything either to protect you. And then you tried to hold on to the sari yourself, thinking, well, if they won't protect me, then I have to protect my honor. And she was holding on to the sari. So I didn't come. You were thinking you could take care of yourself. So then after looking to Bhishma, after looking to the Pandavas, after attempting yourself, finally, you put your hands up and said, hey, Govinda. There was nothing. No one else she could depend on. And the Lord said, then I appeared. I appeared because you were depending exclusively on me. And this, of course, helps us to understand. And it's in relationship to the verse itself. Also, it helps us to understand how ultimately we have to depend on the will of the Lord, even though we may not know what is His plan. And Prabhupada makes the point that the devotee of the Lord, he may not be able to fully understand the Lord's plan. But even though he cannot understand the Lord's plan, sometimes, I oftentimes give the example when we hear this, when we hear that somebody else is making a plan for us, we become a little bit like questioning, like, who? Somebody's making a plan that involves me and didn't tell me what the plan is? Who does he think he is to make plans about me and to not divulge what the plan is? I should know. But here, Bhishma Dev is making very clear, yes, Krishna has made a plan that included you, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and even though you don't know it, ultimately, it's His plan and it's all good. Whatever His plan is, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they're bewildered. And Excuse me. I forgot to turn off my phone. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they're bewildered. They cannot completely understand why. And sometimes when we think or hear or somebody tells us, do you know that there was an arrangement for you to do this at this time and to do that at that time, and this plan was made for you for the future, and nobody told me. Nobody told me. How was I supposed to know? And sometimes we think, if anybody's going to make any plans, tell me first. So if you make a plan that involves me, at least I could either be prepared for it, or usually so that I can find a way to get out of it, or find an adjustment that I can make so it can be done the way I want it, or at least I should have some say in it. Look, let's negotiate and make a deal, make an arrangement. If you were to make a plan, you should hear first what my plan is. You should know what my limitations are. You should know what my conditions are. You should know, what business do you have making a plan without consulting me? That's how we think. Yet Krishna's making plans for all his devotees. Krishna knows everything. Krishna knows, he knows exactly, as we oftentimes explain, Krishna knows what's going on in the heart of the devotee. Prabhupada uses the example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna's within the heart is the super soul. And because he's the super soul, he bears witness to everything the devotee has done, the living entity, not just the devotee, but the living entity has done throughout his whole life. And Prabhupada explains that sometimes people, they complain, you know, what's the benefit of being punished if I don't know what I did? And Prabhupada gives the example that actually, although you may not remember what you did, you may not remember what you wanted, you may not remember what you desired, then nonetheless the super soul, who is the witness within the heart, he knows exactly what you did, he knows exactly what you desired, he knows exactly everything. And therefore the super soul, at the time of giving up the body, he has a plan, and he works together with Yamaraj. They work hand in hand to make a suitable arrangement to fashion a particular body for that living entity for his next life, according to living entity's karmic reactions that he has to accept from his previous life. So Krishna, he knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. As he says, what is that? Vedaham samati tani. He says, I know everything. I know all living entities. I know everything in the future, but past, present, and future, but me? Nobody really knows me. Right? But those who do know me, Krishna says, those who do know me, they know enough of me to know that whatever I do is always all good. Those who know me. Aham savasya prabhavu matak savam pravartate iti matva bhajate mam buddha bhava samanvata. I'm the source of the material spiritual worlds. Everything comes from me. The wise who know this, they worship me, serve me with all their hearts. They know it. They know that Krishna is all good. Whatever Krishna does, he has a perfect plan, especially for his devotees. He has a perfect plan for his devotee to bring the devotee closer to him. And even though I was speaking to one devotee today, I was explaining, even though sometimes it may look harsh, like what Krishna's judgment was, but we may not know the whole background. What may look harsh to a particular in a particular judgment or an outcome in a devotee's life, it may be a greater plan that Krishna is just simply burning up everything for that devotee so that he can finish everything in his one life. Krishna knows how to bring his devotee closer to him. And in many places, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, he says, when my devotee engages in my devotional service, but at the same time he wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he's like a fool who willingly gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take shelter of my lotus feet to make him forget. And then the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam is cited that when my devotee worships me for some benediction of this nature, I'll fulfill his desires in such a way that he won't come back and ask for it again. That's Krishna. Krishna is always thinking of the long-term benefit. There's that whole conversation in the Bhagavatam about Vrikasura and how the demigods, they sometimes give, but they don't consider what the possible consequences may be, just as in the example of how Lord Shiva gave the benediction to Vrikasura. And the whole discussion is that the Lord, he always thinks of what's the ultimate interest for the person who worships him. Not the short term. And the devotees are asking, why is it we see that those who worship Lord Shiva, they live in opulence? And although Lord Shiva lives in abject poverty, and those who worship Lord Vishnu, they live in poverty, although the Supreme Lord is all opulent. They're trying to understand, you know. But the Lord, he knows what's best. And Prabhupada even said in his own life, he gave the example, yas yaham anuganami harashye tadsanam shanai. He says, when the Lord is particularly merciful towards his devotee, sometimes he takes everything away from his devotee so that his devotee has nothing left to depend on except the Lord. Someone may say, how could he do something like that? But that's his mercy. That's his mercy. He's thinking of the ultimate benefit. That's his plan. Anyone who once engages in the service to the Lord takes notice. Even a moment's association, a moment's service to the Lord takes notice of that service and will not forget. So, therefore, Prabhupada makes the point that we may not be able to fully understand what is the plan the Lord has for his devotee. But he makes an important point that even though we may not fully understand the Lord's plan, we should be obedient to the Lord's plan. That's the point he makes right here. He said, so what can we understand about it? It's useless also to inquire about it. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. That's the best policy. Of course, that, of course, can be challenged. How does one know what are the orders of the Lord? How to know that I'm following the orders of the Lord? Devotees sometimes are bewildered about this question. What does the Lord want me to do? The whole Bhagavad Gita, of course, was established for that purpose. Arjuna, again, apparently was completely bewildered. He said, and I am a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. He was apparently bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he took the position of being bewildered so that the Lord could give his instruction to Arjuna. And Prabhupada makes it very clear in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that one may foolishly think that Arjuna, he had a particular privilege. He got to ask Krishna directly. And Krishna may not... We don't have that same opportunity as Arjuna had. But Prabhupada makes it very clear that actually, if we simply understand that although Arjuna had the opportunity to hear from Krishna, if we accept Krishna's instructions as they are given in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and if we accept them with the same mood as Arjuna accepted them, with the purpose of serving the Lord, I believe it's in the verse 18th chapter, I can't remember the Sanskrit, where Krishna says, and all activities depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, you should be fully conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you do not work in such consciousness and act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So Prabhupada makes the point in the commentary, working under the Krishna's direction, everybody can work under Krishna's direction if they accept Krishna's instructions as they were given to Arjuna in the same mood as Arjuna accepted them. And in this way, by becoming obedient to the will of the Lord, what does Krishna state in the chapter on the divine and demoniac nature, he says, one who acts according to his whim and doesn't follow the rules and regulations in the scriptures, doesn't follow the superior orders as given in the scriptures, he can achieve neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. Yes. Is that 14th chapter?
60?
Yeah, it's Vatate. That's right.
1623.
Next to last verse. Siddhim avapnuti nasukam naparam gatim. Yes. Can achieve neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. So although we may not fully understand Krishna's plan, we should understand what is his order. And therefore Prabhupada says we should try to execute that order without argument and be obedient to the will of the Lord. And then as we can safely assume that although we may not fully understand what is the Lord's plan, that nonetheless if we try to be obedient to his instructions and to execute them faithfully, then that plan will be revealed in due course of time to the devotee who is faithful and following the instructions given both by the Lord and by the devotees of the Lord. I think I've spoken long enough. I came late as it is. I came a half hour late. Does anybody have any questions about anything that we've spoken about this evening? Dr. Russ?
Yeah, you said that Vaishnav is virtue. Where in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that?
Oh, no. Where does Prabhupada say that? It's in the purport. It's in the verse that I read. First Canto, 9th chapter, 16th verse. Prabhupada says it. It's not a Bhagavatam verse, it's Prabhupada's commentary. But this commentary is elaborating on the point that even though Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of the Lord, and he was compromised and had to fight on Duryodhana's side, you would think that Bhishma Dev would be successful. But because he was on the side of Duryodhana, who was offense personified, still he was not able to accomplish his purposes. And this is the point that Prabhupada is making, that Duryodhana was destined to lose. He was destined to lose. We know the whole story that Duryodhana chose Krishna's army above Krishna. Arjuna chose Krishna. Duryodhana wanted Krishna's army. He was thinking, if he had Krishna's army, surely he will win. But Arjuna said, no, why do I need anything else if I have Krishna? That's all I need. So, wherever there is Krishna, what is the final verse? In the 18th chapter? Huh? Yeah, my memory is, it's old age. I forget all these verses. Yes? Yeah.
Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great devotee. He had a plan, right, in this whole battle. Same way Bhishma is also a great devotee. He had his own plan. It looks like both those plans are Krishna's plan. So in practical terms, how do we know there is Krishna's plan on all our plans?
How do we know that's Krishna's plan? The point is, I was going to mention something in this connection. Prabhupada explains that in fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one commentary, he gives the example that the desires manifest in the heart, and desires are obstacles in the path, material desires are obstacles in the path of devotional service, and the living entity is always being influenced by the desires in his heart, just like a person who's being influenced by the severe waves in a river. So if a person enters into a river and the waves are very powerful, then by his own strength he's not going to be able to overcome the waves. And Prabhupada uses this analogy to say that although one may try to overcome the influence of the waves and is unsuccessful, the waves eventually they continue on and they enter into the ocean. And the ocean, being more powerful than the river, pushes back the influence of the waves. And in this way, he uses this analogy to help us understand that we may have so many desires within our heart, and if we try to overcome those desires by our own strength, we're very weak. He says, but if we take shelter of devotional service to the Lord, and by, which he compares to be like the ocean, that by taking shelter in the ocean can push back the influence of the waves in the same way as devotional service can push back the waves of material desires. And Prabhupada says, what does it mean to take shelter of the ocean? He says, therefore a devotee should always be making plans for the service of the Lord. If a devotee is always making plans for the service of the Lord, and this way he'll be protected, and he's making a plan for the service of the Lord. And he's trying to execute that plan, and even though so many obstacles will come in the execution of that plan, if the plan is blessed, all right, we should not make whimsical plans. In many places we've been warned to not act whimsically. We should make plans that are blessed by the learned Vaishnavas, blessed by spiritual master, blessed in so many ways that we can find a way to get those plans blessed. But we should not simply do it on our own initiative. But if we make plans and we run into difficulties, but because those plans are sincerely for Krishna's pleasure, even though there may be obstacles, then the devotee will continue to make the effort despite the apparent obstacles in the execution of those plans. And that will protect him from the influence of the material nature. So your question is, yes, we may have our plans, somebody else may have their plans, and on top of all that, Krishna has his plan. How do we know if our plan is Krishna's plan? As I tried to explain, that the best way to know that our plan is Krishna's plan is by seeking the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas. And by taking their blessings, whenever we execute that plan, we should be very careful to not think that I'm doing the initiative, I'm the initiator of this plan. Actually, now I am serving a superior order. I'm serving the superior order that has been given in the form of the blessings of the Vaishnavas I've taken shelter of. If there's any successful result that comes, it is because of their blessings. It is because of their desire. We try to remove ourselves completely as thinking ourselves as the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani shavasha ahankara vimudhatma kataham iti manyate. If we think we're ourselves the doer, then Krishna has given many warnings to Arjuna about that state of consciousness. He says, you have a right to perform your prescribed duties. You're not entitled to the fruits of your activities. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. Krishna very clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita. I see your hand. Can I get it when I'm finished? Okay? Okay. I saw it. I noted it. Therefore, that is the best way to remove any false ego on our parts and try to see that yes, whatever I'm endeavoring to do is not on my own account, but it's on account of the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, and we try to execute it. And if we don't have that blessing, sometimes it's very hard to know whether I should take the initiative to continue with us, because sometimes we begin to think, well, there's so many obstacles, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me to stop this. Which, fortunately, Prabhupada didn't think that way when he had two heart attacks. Huh?
Jhansi, though, he realized that wasn't Krishna's plan.
And Jhansi, he did. But I was going to say when he was on the Jaladutta, when he had two heart attacks. And he didn't think that way in New York, when he was, many times he was writing letters to his god brothers asking them for help, and the help wasn't coming. Sometimes he would go and he would check the schedule to see when the ship is going back, but he would never go. And in so many different ways, many obstacles were there. But fortunately for us, Prabhupada, you know, but fortunately, Prabhupada didn't stay in Jhansi. Now, Yashid Kahichid Rajan Bhumadeveda Vidisatam. Right? Prabhupada made his inquiries and he came to the conclusion that this is not Krishna's plan. And he saw that there was another plan for him to execute. So, and sometimes it's very hard when on our own account to keep on going if it's not clear that it's Krishna. So therefore we should seek blessings. And if with those blessings get strength to either continue or change course, if that may be the recommendation. You know, sometimes change of course is required in many circumstances. Prabhupada changed course. Yeah, we get so many stories of how Prabhupada said one thing one time and he changed course. You know, Lord Chaitanya changed course when he went to Varanasi and he saw the state of mentality of the people there. He changed course. He didn't want to go back to Varanasi again. And sometimes these decisions need to be made to change course. And but we should try to be careful to not do it whimsically. Okay.
This is not a question of comment, you know, but there is a difference between going hungry without a choice and with choice, with devotion towards Krishna. What when you go hungry, but with devotion towards Krishna is known as fasting. Fasting, we do kirtana and we take Krishna's name, and as opposed to just going hungry. Okay, you can get food, so I'm hungry, but there is no need.
Okay.
And so when we fast, we should fast with the meat.
Yes. And Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you perform, you should do it for me. Pyari, have I reached my limit? I never act independently. I didn't hear that.
Marley is raising his hand, so I'd have to say you reached your limit.
Huh?
You can find out what Marley is.
Okay.
I have a question, quick comment. Jyotinanda told me once that he went to Prabhupada and he asked him, how do I know if what I'm doing is what Krishna wants? Prabhupada told him, try 3 times, if it doesn't work, then you. I'm not sure that's applicable for all of us. So there's 2 things. One is that when we're put, can we say that if I'm an aspiring devotee, and if I'm put in a very difficult situation, then it's Krishna's directly doing this. It's his plan for my purification, and I should try to accept and approach that situation because Krishna wants me to make advancement through that situation.
And is there an alternative?
Yeah, I can just try to fight against it and not embrace it, that this is Krishna. It's,
but like, is that an alternative?
People take it off.
I know, but is it an alternative?
No. Again, yes, in the instance of Draupadi, so we want to depend completely on Krishna. But it seems that we are sometimes put in difficulty where action is also required on our part. So then how do we balance that? I want to depend on Krishna, but I also have to, I don't know, should I act or should I not act?
I remember hearing, I can't remember the source, that we should always act in such a way as to think that the result is depending on our efforts, knowing within our heart that the result can only come from Krishna. In other words, we have to make the effort. Desham nichibu yuktanam yogakshema bahamyaham. We have to make an effort to, what is that verse also? Tasmat savishu kalishu mama nusmara yujacha mayapata manom buddhya mami vaisheshya shankshaya. Krishna tells Arjuna, you should perform your prescribed duties of fighting. You should do it. But at the same time, you should think of me. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind intelligence fixed in me, you'll come to me of this, there's no doubt. So we have to make the effort.
But not in Draupadi's case.
Uh-huh.
She stopped making the effort that Krishna intervened. So therefore, you know, I like that. Let Krishna do everything for me.
Yeah, but she did make the effort at first, and she realized what she was up against. So at that point, she realized the only ones left is Krishna. So we have to make the effort. You know, same thing when we, you know, Krishna says, "Daiviyeshu guna mayi mama maya duratiya, mama iviye prapachati maya mita durantit." If we try to overcome the influence of material nature by our own efforts, at some point we're going to have to realize what we're up against. It's not by our own efforts alone that we can overcome material nature, but it's only when Krishna says, "Okay, Maya, leave him alone." Maya says, okay, says, because Krishna's Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Maya works according to Krishna's direction. So the devotee tries to overcome by his own efforts, but he realizes what he's up against. But because of his sincere effort, Krishna, you know, releases, says to Maya, release him. So we have to make the effort. That much we have to do. But effort to do what? Now you're saying the effort is to accept the situation that Krishna has put us in. That effort has to be there, that Krishna has put me in this situation, it's his arrangement, and I should just simply accept it. But still, that's an inactive. That's a passive. We shouldn't be just passive. Prabhupada makes the point that devotional service is active, not passive. Right? So, yes, I accept the situation as Krishna has put me in, but now how am I going to be active in this situation? What am I going to do with this situation? Am I just going to accept it? Or am I going to be active and make the best use of the situation that Krishna has put me in for doing what I should be doing to enhance my Krishna consciousness?
Actually, in Uddhava Gita, I think, I don't know how true it is, but Uddhava asks this question to Krishna, that you are the protector of your devotees and friends, then why didn't you help Draupadi? And he explains that, I'm always there, but if no one seeks me, I'm not going to do that. So till Draupadi didn't ask Krishna, please help, he was just watching. And once he says that, please help, then he offers the help. So he explains, I don't know how true it is.
But there are also examples where the devotee won't even ask for help. And still Krishna intervenes.
Haridasa,
also in Maharaj Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj, he just naturally thought of Krishna, but he never asked Krishna, can you please help me?
Yeah, just thinking of him also.
Just because by remembering of him. Right. He never even asked the Lord for help. The Lord knows how to protect the devotee even better than the devotee. Okay. I think we should end. Hare Krishna, thank you. Hare Krishna.